time now for our weekly chat with the experts at ETF.com, the world's leading independent authority on ETFs.
I think we're seeing a different way of ETFs being launched. The real kicker was governance, selling of private data. They really let down their customers repeatedly.
Drew, great having you back on the podcast.
Thanks, Nate. Always appreciate you having me on.
Okay, so you recently wrote a piece titled Marijuana ETFs Get Second Wind. This is posted at ETF.com. Definitely recommend everyone check this out. And by the way, I've got to read the lead here. This is great. You said, quote, "For marijuana ETFs, the last 24 months have been a total bummer with nothing but stems and seeds to show for returns." And I was going to ask you how you got that past the editor, but you're the editor. in any event, you discussed how there was so much buzz around these ETFs when they first launched, but the performance simply hasn't been there. I'm just going to open this up to you to begin with. What made you decide to look at this space?
Well, really, the marijuana ETFs have not done well over the last few months and frankly, the last couple of years. And toward the beginning of October, we started seeing the whole group rise. And sometimes, you know, you'll see an ETF pop and its peers won't. But looking into it further, what happened, you'd think it would be a bigger story, actually, especially on an election year, that in late September, a House vote was delayed on what is called the Marijuana Opportunity Reinvestment and Expungement Act, M-O-R-E, more, which would decriminalize cannabis, is currently a controlled substance, but even bigger, would open up cannabis companies to the federal banking system, which they are now currently excluded. So the cannabis retail shops you may or may not have in your state or the companies behind them that operate in the U.S. are not part of the federal banking system, and that has been a big hindrance to the industry. This is a bipartisan act that, if passes through the House and signed by the president, would end those bans against the federal banking system. So what we have is the vote has been delayed until after the election. It's a bipartisan bill, and Vice President candidate Harris has already said a Biden administration will decriminalize marijuana, and this act actually could be one of the first laws if Biden's elected to be passed. It is hoped to get through by the end of the year. And so that pushed up a group of marijuana ETFs as high as 18-20% toward the mid-October. We've seen that come down a little bit, but the group as a whole has seen about a 10% pop across the board this month. And obviously we'll find out next week what the future will hold. But obviously all the winds are blowing toward this election going to Biden and this potentially happening sooner rather than later.
You noted in your piece how most of the current cannabis ETFs on the market launched in 2019, and you noted some performance figures. I think you said most were down somewhere between roughly 50 and 70%. What do you think were some of the primary challenges with performance over that time frame? So you just talked about the recent uptick in performance, but what was causing such a drag on performance?
Sure. Well, it was a little bit. It wasn't quite that bad. It was more around 50% over the last couple of years, I think 2 years. What happened was they all came out when this space was just starting in the ETF world. As you mentioned, MJ came along in 2018, was the first marijuana ETF on the market, and it was timed coincidentally or perfectly, either one, because at the time it came out was when Canada had legalized marijuana on a federal level, which opened up their banking system to cannabis companies. Cannabis companies could access capital markets. There's all the listed marijuana ETFs you may read about are based in Canada. So that really started the whole, this is going to be the big next new big thing. And all those stocks got bid up very high. It's a shallow pool of companies to draw from. And after the novelty of decriminalization came through in Canada, it just became a business. And it's a business that the valuations were not matching the revenue coming in. And potentially that has been the case. It's been a slow downfall. in terms of matching valuations with revenue. It's a legitimate business. We're seeing it grow all over the United States, with some dozen states legalizing recreational cannabis sales. And in the piece, I also show that they're expected to double sales by 2024 in the U.S. to some $30 billion. So it's a real industry, and opening up the federal banking system, the capital markets, so cannabis companies can list on the New York Stock Exchange or Cboe or NASDAQ, is really going to be a game changer and could potentially open the door to bigger companies such as Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or even Constellation Brands coming in and starting to be a player in the cannabis space.
With this recent up move in performance, as you described earlier, it sounds like at least some of this is tied to the quote-unquote blue wave, this thought that perhaps Biden wins the presidency and Democrats perhaps take Congress. And I saw what you noted with the Democratic VP nominee Harris basically saying that marijuana would be decriminalized at the federal level under a Biden administration. A couple of weeks ago, I had Laura Krieger on the podcast, and we were discussing clean energy ETFs. And I'm curious, as you look at this recent move, how much is really riding on the election for the pot industry? So let's say President Trump is reelected and or the Republicans keep the Senate, which is obviously a possibility. Do you think that could be a huge blow to this space, or is that just a shorter term risk factor?
I would think shorter term. I think it's inevitable. We're starting to see so many states actually draw significant tax revenue of the hundreds of millions of dollars. And it's the cultural stigma is fading, depending on where you are in the country, obviously. And I think despite the fact we're going to have some kind of blue wave washover, I'm not sure what it will be in what degree, but this will eventually happen. And the fact that they're withholding the vote on decriminalization in the House, which, again, is a bipartisan a bill, I think they're just waiting for this to go over. And if Trump maintains the White House, that certainly could be a problem in terms of getting this bill passed as a law. But I think eventually we're going to see some kind of decriminalization. And in the access to the banking system, obviously, is something that we can't tell until it actually happens.
From an ETF standpoint, you mentioned MJ, the ETF-MG, Alternative Harvest ETF. That was the first marijuana ETF on the market. It is currently the largest. And we're not going to do a full deep dive into every marijuana ETF because there are a lot of options out there. It's a very crowded space. But what do you suggest for investors who are interested here? Do any of the ETFs in particular catch your attention? Any tips on filtering through this space?
I'd say, why are you buying it, first of all? Are you buying it because you think this is a space that's going to grow and going to become the next vice, if you will, in America, along with beer and alcohol? Or are you trying to speculate and trying to ride the wave of what is a burgeoning space that's going to be volatile? MJ is the only ETF that has actually made money for investors. That was back in 2018, and it did very well, so up some 30-40% in 1 year. So we're going to see a lot of volatility in the space. In one particular fund that seems to be navigating it over the last 12 months, year, is the active managed marijuana ETF, AdvisorShares Pure Cannabis ETF, YOLO. Good ticker, of course. Comes in with an expense ratio of 74 basis points, which is in line with the passive funds. But it has outperformed the bunch and pretty significantly over the last year. So you could say that maybe active management is, you know, navigating this volatility a little better, or trying to get rid of the funds that are stuck in this downtrend and trying to find other ways around making money in the space. And this year we're going to see almost $15-20 billion in recreational sales in the U.S. I mean, that's as big as the video game industry. It's bigger than the music and movie business. So this is a real industry that's just ripe for capital markets investors to pounce on at some point.
What's amazing to me here, I was looking at this yesterday afternoon. If you look at the performance across the cannabis ETFs, and you were alluding to this, there's a huge disparity. So that AdvisorShares Pure Cannabis ETF, YOLO, that's actually slightly positive for the year. And then you look at the Global X Pot ETF, POTX, that's down over 45%. So think about that. I mean, you have a 45% delta between two ETFs that an investor may look at these and think, well, you know, this is covering the cannabis space. I'm going to get relatively similar exposure. That's not the case. And as you go down the list, you know, you have the cannabis ETF, ticker THCX. There's the Amplify Seymour Cannabis ETF, ticker CNBS. Toke, great ticker symbol, Cambria's cannabis ETF. There's some others out there. You really have to look under the hood here because the performance is all over the board.
It is, but you can't be naive either. There's a big difference between an actively managed fund and a passive fund.
Agreed.
Whether it's marijuana or, chips for computers. So it is important to understand. And it's very important to understand the underlying exposure here. These are companies that are thinly traded. These are not, major large-cap funds. They are micro-cap to small-cap funds that are trading in Canada. And there's other companies that have a tangible relationship to marijuana, such as, some ag products. But what people are really, I think, are buying here is they're trying to buy into the actual physical marijuana business. And at this point, it is really an infantile kind of industry when it comes to ETFs. And until we really get U.S. companies listing on U.S. exchanges, it's going to be a volatile market and one that, frankly, is speculative.
Well, and it's interesting when you mention U.S. companies. Of course, just a couple of months ago, AdvisorShares launched the pure U.S. cannabis ETF, ticker MSOS. This holds U.S. multi-state operators, but they're using swaps to get that exposure. Because you can't, because they're not listed on a U.S. exchange, these U.S. companies. So I think you're right. I think the key here is going to see how the regulatory landscape evolves moving forward. But
yeah, I agree. And I think it's, in relation to Bitcoin, too. It's this new thing that had a stigma to it and is slowly becoming accepted into both society and into the financial landscape. So I think as time goes by, this will be more accepted, and it'll be very interesting when the U.S. markets really open up to see what kind of really big corporate players are going to step into the market. And they've all dabbled in it. We've seen cannabis-infused beverages come out in particular states with Constellation brand investment. So I think we're going to see an interesting development over the next few years. And getting in now, the companies that are in these ETFs right now may not be the same companies in 10 years. There might be much more established companies or new companies that come along. So it's a very early industry, and the ETFs in there are doing their job. They're reflecting the market, and just understand what you're buying, because there's a big difference in the 10 ETFs that are out there and what they're covering and how they achieve their goals.
Very well said, Drew. Excellent perspective this week. Again, really enjoyed your piece on this space. Thank you for joining me this week.
Always enjoy it. Thank you.
That was ETF.com's Drew Voros.